Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, I was busy looking over here at the Sharm El Sheikh conference, otherwise known as COP27, held between November 6th and 18th in Egypt. I was looking at this because I find this extremely interesting. Very few people are really digging deep into the nuts and bolts of this conference. You know, it's interesting to me as we pass 8 billion in population. A lot of people will say, look, there's too many people. We can't handle it. Have you flown across the United States? Okay. I'm asking. Look, I understand the different nuances of the terrain and all of that and the climate. However, God does not, his creation, okay, what God has created for us, for mankind, is sufficient for us, whether it's 8-9 million people. And people like Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and others have no business second-guessing God's ability, God's creation, the ability of God's creation to handle what he has given. No business questioning the provisions of God. But with me right now is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com, and qfiles.tv. Folks, Sophers and private intelligence briefings, I'm going to tell you right now, they're absolutely required in my view. And by the way, in case you missed it, and I hope you didn't, but if you did, it's at band.video. Steve was on with Alex Jones on Wednesday. The most amazing thing I think happened with that is the fact that Steve got to pray to the listeners, to the viewers with Alex and to me. When has that happened to that extent? Really since day one on that platform in that size of venue, it hasn't. So God bless Steve Quayle. Really, unbelievably, taking his time out and really spreading the word of God to the people who need it. So we're going to be talking about COP27, this Sharm El Sheikh Climate Change Conference. We're going to be talking about that and about the pagan Ten Commandments, which are obviously 10 compliance orders, if you will, on this. And more. With me, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. And I want to say, welcome, Steve. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Doug, for letting me come on these Thursdays. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on at Egypt is probably the most provocative spiritual events of our time. And I would go so far as to call it the ultimate mockery of the living God and the pronunciation and the annunciation of the Antichrist, he who will be known as the beast, who Satan literally will possess. And they are writing, actually I should say, rewriting the Ten Commandments. And I want to make this clear. Mount Sinai, the real Mount Sinai, is in Saudi Arabia. Most people that even looked at the story, Doug, were hung up on, well, it's not really Mount Sinai, so it really doesn't mean anything. No, you couldn't be more blind. Number one, the Saudi Arabians aren't going to allow 40,000 infidels to land their 400 jets in Riyadh and go tracking into the desert to go to the real location of Mount Sinai. So what they did, they took a very interesting resort area, Sharm El Sheikh, where all the elite met with their 400 jets, and they got together to worship the earth, to basically claim, and here's where it's really critical, that God isn't relevant. Remember, Yuval Noah Harari made the statement, they've already killed God and next the body. So while all this stuff is going on with FTX, And as I said on Doug's show years ago, NATO is a dead thing. Already there are cracks in NATO. But getting back to the biggest issue, the globalists, the Luciferians are keeping us occupied with their right hand. But the real evil, the real takedown, takeover of planet Earth, and the positioning for 7.2 billion people to die now because of the increase in the population up to 8 billion. And I want to make sure I said billion, 7.2 billion people to die. As this is what's going on in the background. Now, Doug, will you read the new Ten Commandments? I think it's really important that people understand this.
Yeah, I can do that as well. If we put them on the screen, can we do that? All right, here they come. Folks, if you are listening to this by radio, of course, tune in to the Hagman Report on Rumble and or Brighteon. But subscribe and hit that like, thumbs up, Rumble or whatever button. And make sure you subscribe and also leave your comments at Rumble. I read the comments because some of you folks really have great stuff. Okay, so here they are. The 10 principles for climate repentance include, number one, we are stewards of this world. Now, Steve, you want me to stop or just read them all straight through?
Just read them all, okay. And then we'll talk about it.
Number two, creation manifests divinity. Wow. Okay. Number three, everything in life is interconnected. Number four, do no harm. Five, look after tomorrow. Six, rise above ego for our world. Seven, change our inner climate. That is, again, change our inner climate. Eight, repent and return. Number nine, every action matters. And 10, use mind, comma, open heart. And that's those are titled 10 principles for climate what? Repentance. Climate repentance. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case you would need, and you really do, we all need to understand, and Eric, just lead them up on my screen so I can read them directly into the camera if you don't mind. We are stewards of this world, and I want to just go ahead and leave it up. I want to read Romans chapter 1 for you guys to understand, starting at verse 18. For the Romans, the very first thing Paul the Apostle sets out for the Romans who believed in every other god, and if it wasn't Roman gods, it was Greek gods. If it wasn't Greek gods, it was somebody. But for the wrath of God, now keep in mind, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, the living God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, here it is. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the key verse. Because that when they knew God, this is talking about the human race, even at its beginning, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So, ladies and gentlemen, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible, uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that's critical in this is they began to worship the creation. They worshiped anything but the Creator. Now back to the Ten Commandments that Doug just read. We are stewards of this world. That's true. And in that truth is what they're trying to get people to basically be controlled by the very weather, by the very geoengineering, by the very biological attacks on us through vaccinations, by starvation, by drought, and all these things are being generated. Now, God is in ultimate control. And I want people to understand something. Just because the mass of humanity doesn't understand geoengineering, doesn't understand weather wars, doesn't understand the true spirit behind the Great Reset, and I call it the Great Flush. But anyway, the Great Reset is this is a war on the living God and a war on Jesus Christ. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, and this is an introduction because we're going to be talking about the Antichrist and we're going to be talking about the two witnesses. Now, when they say we are stewards of this world, the first one of their new commandments, what they're basically saying, they're in control. God is not. Creation manifests divinity. That's another bunch of BS. Basically, the creation manifesting divinity in their context means that you, when you take on this new attitude, getting rid of the God of the Old Testament, the Father of our Lord Jesus, getting rid of Jesus, getting rid, as Yuval Noah Harari said, they've killed God, yeah, right, and next is his body. Everything in life is interconnected. That's absolutely true. The Bible says, in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we live and move and have our being. Now, do no harm. They should have put in parentheses what they really mean, except get rid of the Christians. Because when you read, and this article, is it goes into the detail of who spoke at this. I will tell you this, anybody on hell's roster, but definitely nobody on God's side. Look after tomorrow. What did Jesus say? Jesus told us, in essence, sufficient for this day is the evil thereof. So they're putting personal responsibility into the future, and they're exonerating, if you will, trying to get people to understand, well, I'm going to look at the future, but I can live like I want now. Rise above the ego for our world. Not the liars in the world over there. All the elite of the elite are there. Rise above the ego for our world. That's absolutely the number one personification of evil and evil personified that was manifest in this whole COP27 was the literal Antichrist. He who even Prince Charles, now King Charles, acknowledged is already on the scene. So I want to make that clear, Doug, that we're talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist, again, means in place of Jesus Christ. The COP27 Ten Commandments mean in place of God's Ten Commandments. Change our inner climate. You know what that means? Get rid of all your Christian ethics. Get rid of those thoughts of God. Get rid of, because that's one of the things they've been working on in the background in the assassination of the human genome, is working on the area of the human spirit that basically can still be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Now, repent and return, that's to, that they're not talking about the living God. They're talking about Lucifer. I want to make it clear, Lucifer. Every action matters. The Luciferian demand for obedience is total. The Luciferian demand for blood and human sacrifice is absolutely represented in some of the practices that go on. And it's way beyond what Alex Jones, God bless him, brought out on the Bohemian Grove. Most people didn't know what that was until Alex brought it out. And that's why, again, being able to pray for him and his listeners, my listeners, our listeners, Doug's listeners, was a move of God. Because, again, ladies and gentlemen, just as the pool of Bethesda, an angel would come and trouble the water, and the first into the water would get healed, and the man that couldn't get there in time, that's the man Jesus went to. So every action matters. What they mean by that, they mean literally in obedience to Lucifer. Use mind, open heart. Use mind, open heart. What they're talking about in the open your mind and heart is be subjected to the programming that they want good citizens of the global reset. Let's call them resetians, Doug. That sounds like something, you know, one of the first Japanese it was really good. It was a science fiction movie of the Martians attacking the Earth. And I forget what they call them, but we'll call these people the resetians for the alien life form they are. Okay. So I want to make clear that there was two conferences. There's the one going on that was kind of public and it was kind of for outward consumption, but then there was the inner sanctum. And it's
before you go on, can I ask you, may I ask you a question on the before you
always
go on? Okay. One thing that has always bothered me since it happened is the destruction and lack of coverage, lack of investigation, lack of curiosity, the destruction of the my goodness, America Stonehenge.
America Stone, Georgia Guidestone.
Georgia Guidestone. So thank you very much. And there were 10, I believe, 10 commandments, if you will, etched in stone on those. Okay. Now, suddenly, somebody just blew them up, gone, you know, and they were bulldozed over the rest without any fanfare, without any follow-up. Okay. That's kind of, now hold that thought. Okay. Now we have COP27 coming out, etching in stone, literally, these 10 principles of repentance, climate repentance. Okay, is there any, so my question on that, is there any connection between the two? And even if there is, does it even matter, I guess?
Well, I think it matters. Either you have two choices for the destruction of the Georgia Guidestones. Either it was people who hated them or people that were funding them that took them out of the way to present. In other words, they were a placeholder for the COP27 Ten Commandments. Now, the hubris, and I want to make this clear, the hubris that was exhibited on the Georgia Guidestones going back before they were destroyed, you and I spoke about why is it that no one ever questioned, and maybe there were some people, I'm not saying no one, but very few, and no one in the media, how are you going to get down to maintain the Earth's population of 500 million when those were written, the population of 500 billion, I'm sorry, 500 billion, let me start over. I'm trying to do two thoughts at once. The Georgia Guidestones were talking when the Earth's population was 7.2 billion to take down the manageable population to 500 million. You remember that?
Right, yes.
And then now that it's 8 billion, by inference, if they're going to take down the same percentage amount of people, ladies and gentlemen, that means a lot of billions of people are going to have to die. But nobody questioned the Georgia Guidestones how they're going to diminish the global population. Ah, enter death by injection. Ah, enter death by geoengineering. Ah, enter death by famine. Ah, enter mega drought, maxi drought. And so what is critical is that where the Georgia Guidestones were destroyed, isn't it interesting, Doug, that I don't know the exact date of their destruction, last year sometime, I think, and now we have the COP27. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is such, you notice too, Doug, they smashed the stones. They wrote them. And in essence, God's Ten Commandments were written by the very finger of God himself. Moses did smash the first set of Ten Commandments written on stone when he came down from the mount, and the people were basically going back to the pagan practices and worshiping the golden calf. When Aaron was questioned by Moses, he said, I don't know how that came. I mean, he was the one that basically sculpted the golden calf, and he caved into the demands of people. This is very important. Right now in COP27, you're watching your future written for you unless you have Jesus to strengthen you and stand against the day. Once Biden, entity Biden, is taken away, or we live in a 60-minute World War III, the AC will come on the scene, the Antichrist. The AC was crowned in a secret ceremony where they never showed his face, meaning even to all the attendees, the devotees, and the Luciferians, because it wasn't the time to reveal. But they had the ceremony, and it really went on. There was a prophecy by a lady prophet. I forget her name, and I don't mean to diminish, but she actually saw it. And then I reached out to people that I know, and I said, did that really happen? And the answer was, absolutely, it happened. And the time of the great reveal, this is interesting, Doug, as an investigator, you'd probably say, now, why would they not reveal at this time? Because they need the entire if you will, destruction of the West to bring about the total implementation of here's the man of peace, and with no ability to contest it. Actually, we've yielded it to it in the United States, as Britain has, as New Zealand, Australia. And look at what's happening in Australia right now. Horrific floods. So God's specific judgments are in the earth. And now what we're seeing, in my opinion, my well-researched opinion, is the implementation of the smashing. When they smashed those Ten Commandments, those stupid Ten Commandments,
are you talking about the original Ten Commandments? Or are you talking
I'm talking about when they, at Sharm el-Sheikh, COP 27,
yes,
smashed those tablets. You saw in the paragraph above the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Why don't we have Eric put that back up a minute?
Yes, and that's a good point. Kind of glossed over that. And by the way, the Georgia Guidestones, according to Wikipedia, they were dismantled on July 6th of 2022. How quickly time flies, right? Okay, there it is on the screen about the COP 27.
Go ahead and read the gray.
They smashed some stones on Sinai in a fashion like Moses did in the Bible to dramatize how the world needs to repent of its ecological sins. My word. Okay, their new 10 principles for climate repentance include, and then they list the 10. There it is.
Now, this should be called the ultimate hypocrisy of those who are telling us that we need to repent of our ecological sins. Let me make it really simple, Doug. The bottom line, it's my favorite statement, overused it maybe a million times, but the bottom line is the ecological sin is the carbon footprint, which is a human being allowed to live. These guys are burning so much jet fuel. These people who are the catered, the pampered, represent so much of industry that has destroyed the planet. And there's even a scripture in the Bible that talks about God's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, if people were to understand what Jesus did in being the only one worthy after his resurrection to open the seven seals and the entire book of Revelation. And Doug, you know this, I keep repeating, because people don't know this, especially people that are listening to this program and go, what does God have to do with this? Well, everything. But God has given us his, if you will, signature through his son and through the book of Revelation of the things that are to come to pass, that were coming to pass and would later come to pass. And people don't understand a real simple principle of prophecy. You can have multiple fulfillments until you have the last fulfillment of prophecy. A good example, it was prophesied. How many messianic prophecies that the Messiah would come, where he'd be born, all this stuff. And still, and this is interesting, the only ones that really recognize that were the religious people, because they knew it was going to interrupt their game. Or more importantly, it was going to interrupt their cash flow. Or more importantly, it was going to strip the religious veneer off of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So that is why they had to try to provoke, and they did provoke, obviously, the crucifixion, the capital punishment of Jesus. But they didn't know what would come beyond the grave. Now, as we're talking about the situation on Mount Sinai, we're going to switch over to the Mount of Transfiguration, because we're going to talk about the two witnesses. This Old Testament calls them the golden candlesticks that literally stand before the presence of the Lord. And Eric, if you would put that up now, Revelation, what, 11, where we're going to read this to people. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is the Antichrist being crowned in a secret ceremony until the global reveal. The global reveal will not happen until after World War III. And now we have this ceremony where he was physically present. This wasn't let's use a mannequin, let's use an old stand-up, let's use a mummy of Pharaoh. No, this was the literal AC present at Sharm el-Sheikh and was going through the secret ceremony, and the mockery of God as an offshoot of that is what Doug Hagman just read to you. Now, this is really important. This is God speaking, and he's talking about his two witnesses. The Bible literally puts the context of the appearance of the two witnesses into the time frame of the Antichrist being revealed. In other words, when they reveal this is God, you know, your God has to hang in the shadows. They will have signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders. They'll have the most, how should I say this, supernaturally hidden knowledge orchestrated light and sound show that's ever been seen. Jesus said that the deception is going to be so great that if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, actually God the Father, there'd be no flesh left alive. So I want to get into this right now. The two witnesses. I don't know, Doug, you have a great memory for time, but was it 6 months ago or a year ago when I said the first time, I have a feeling the two witnesses on earth. Do you remember about the time frame?
You know, you said that more than one time, and I believe 12 months, 11 months was the first, and I think you reiterated that again probably in sometime during the summer, because I do recall my notes and I had some questions about that. So yes.
Well, let me finish reading the scripture, because I don't mean to get sidetracked. It's just we gotta basically put 2,200 years in 1 hour. These are the two olive trees, two witnesses, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, verse 3, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen, that's 3.5 years. It doesn't say, and they shall prophesy whatever 7 years would be, you know, 300. It's talking about literally the time they're going to be prophesying and doing the signs and wonders. Now let's go on. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. They have power to shut up the heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have power over waters to turn them to blood, and smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. Interesting, isn't it? Times, times, and times and a half. And shall not suffer their dead bodies be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after, and here's a glory statement, after 3 days, 3.5 days, I'm just shortening that, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. God calls them in a state of death into an instantaneous explosion of life, and said, come up hither. Now, this is critical. As they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Just as when Jesus ascended, the whole world, and he's coming back, remember? Jesus is coming back. And I want to say this, and the same hour was a great earthquake, and the tenth of the part of the city fell, and in that earthquake were slain of men 7,000. A remnant were afraid and gave glory to God. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now, we're talking today, and that'll be good, you know, Eric, just for going because we're on a time frame. The bottom line is that we're talking about the two witnesses that appear concurrently with the false prophet and the Antichrist. And this is something that's important. The world leader that the whole world's going to go after, that Prince Charles, now King Charles, alluded to, that the specific highest-ranking Luciferians watched the crowning ceremony in Sharm el-Sheikh. Remember this. There's the stuff that is for just the, I want to feel good about myself and join with my global brothers because all roads lead to heaven. That's the left-hand group, let's call it. But on the right-hand are the initiates. The initiates are those who have plotted, planned, schemed, funded, designed, manufactured all of the technology and products that will be needed to kill, and I want to make this clear, to kill at least half the world's population. Half the world's population is 4 billion. There are people that say, no, it's two-thirds. All I know is the two witnesses appear simultaneously. Now, let me take you to somebody who we had on the show, Gary Cole. This is a public testimony, so I'm not telling anything out of school. The one thing that was interesting when Gary Cole was going to speak at one of our conferences, I think it may have been the UFO one or the one before that, the Gen 6 conference, he was meeting with a scientist who's one of the brightest men in the world. And I don't even remember his name now. But the point being is the scientist had developed a technology using offsetting prisms to be able to see the spirit world. Do you remember that, Doug?
I do.
Gary Cole.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I should remember his name and maybe I'll think about it. But the important thing was when we made that statement on your show, the FBI went and talked and scared the scientists so badly that he fled to Europe. Then the whatever agencies would hound Gary. The question they would hound Gary with more than any single question, you remember what it was, Doug? Because he told it on your show.
Not offhand. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. The two witnesses.
Oh.
They wanted to know where they were, when they're coming. Now, and Gary said, look, they're in the Bible. Read your Bible. What they did to our brother, pray for him. Keep him in your prayers, please. That's why you've not heard from him or seen him. They destroyed that man, and only God can restore him. They didn't take his life, but they took his inner life and just absolutely multiplied every level of misery. I don't think most people know this. I've told people this. He's a concert pianist. He's incredibly bright. I'm talking to you. He's a savant. He's gifted. And the enemy has worked overtime to destroy him. And so the whole focus, not getting my focus lost, is that they were concerned. Everyone who was, they did such just, what do you call it, Doug, when they want to drive you crazy?
Oh, gaslighting. Gaslighting.
Gaslighting. Yeah. Thank you. They gaslit him every place he would go, whether he went to the mall, whether he went to any place, they were there. Obviously, they're tracking him on a cell phone or under, surveillance. And everywhere that he went, when they would go sit with him, they'd just seemingly walk him from three directions. They didn't walk in as a group of three guys. What was interesting, Doug, they would get right on the same subject. Who are the two witnesses? who? What are you guys up to? That you guys meant me, him, and probably you. I don't remember your name being mentioned. Yay, you're not in trouble that time. But the bottom line is that the concern for the two witnesses. Now, I want to jump to Mount Graham, okay? And Mount Graham, this is going to be in our new film that's coming out, obviously. And you can see it on the front page of my website. And I think it becomes even more critical for people to understand something, that all of this genetic stuff that Jesse and the Gen 6 film crew unearthed in real time in some of the most remote, yet some of the, one of them is a tourist area called Tulum, and now they just shortened it to Tula. But the amount of artifacts dealing with DNA from the same area that in 1954, but a German gentleman in that same area of Mexico was collecting close to 32,000 items. They were tested, and you know, look, I understand carbon 14, but what was interesting is by using what's called archaeoastronomy, the positions of stars shown on the artifacts, by noticing little nuances in weapons, and especially their flying saucers. See, Doug, what the new film is that's going to be coming out, it compiles everything that the people pretty much got in the fundraiser, but also the plan from the beginning of Genesis to corrupt the human DNA. And I just put up a story today by Dr. Jane Ruby that claims that there are people that are starting to form venom glands, and you're hearing me right. I don't know, Eric, if I sent you that one. It's on the front of my page, my main page. But most people don't understand this. The Genesis 6 narrative has changed from angels coming to Earth for a good time, producing offspring with Earth women, and the fallen angels, I'm talking fallen angels, they can size their plumbing accordingly, okay? In other words, they can package their goods to produce children, but the children they produced were the giants. The giants had half human DNA, thank you, and half, and leave that up, Eric, and half human and fallen angel DNA. And what they did in the Genesis before the flood and after the flood, now they're doing, excuse me, with the extraction of fallen angel DNA. And how do they get that? They've extracted from giant mummies and stasis. The interesting thing about giant mummies, I'm not talking like, you know, the ones you see in the Cairo Museum, but when you're dealing with giant mummies, they have a life force that keeps them in a form of stasis, suspended animation. And that's how they can preserve the DNA. So when any of these giants are murdered, not murdered, but they're killed, the military grabs those things and puts a secrecy lid, or above top secret, actually puts a majestic lid on top of it, and they're extracting this DNA. Now, I want to, you read this, Doug, and give me a chance to just take a drink. All right. This is Dr. Jane Ruby.
All right. Okay, so what I'm looking at here on the screen, and folks, go to Rumble or Brighteon, watch this. First of all, live at 7 p.m., the jabbed are growing animal venom glands in ducks. Now, the show description states that Dr. Jane interviews counter bioterrorism expert Dr. Tao Braun. This is what you want me to read, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Who explains that self-replicating nanoparticles, which, by the way, have been confirmed in the COVID-19 shots, are programmed to grow venom ducts inside the human body. Now, his theory is that the jabbed are growing live venom gland cells in other animal structures. Huh. Okay, Dr. Jane shows you the DOJ's research. That's an interesting statement, by the way. DOJ's research using cone snail venom to make huge amounts of deadly synthetic conotoxins. They say that deep ocean cone snail venom is a serious threat to humans who never dive that deep. All right. And it goes on to promote the show with links.
And so, Doug, our fundraiser was showing the origin of, and I believe the aliens are the genetic manipulation of the fallen angels. The fallen angels are not aliens. Fallen angels are a different higher class than the aliens. Remember, Satan's attempt to duplicate everything God has done is based on defacing, deforming, and I'll use this, monstrousizing. That's not like, you know, oversizing a glass of pop or a fries. I'm talking monster-sizing the human genome. And now with we've been told, have we not, that there's snake venom in some of the vaccines? Snake venom.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, snake venom is a protein. Protein has DNA. The whole purpose of having sex with women by the fallen angels, both before the flood and after the flood, and that's what Genesis 6:4 is talking about, in those days and after those days. And then we move, Doug, to the alien abductions, women having, you know, memories of being probed sexually and then having children and having the aliens take the baby from them, you know? And now we've moved to the genetic manipulation of the human genome that is destroying human DNA and outside and a part of Jesus Christ and the redemption through his blood and becoming a new creation. Those are becoming, and I'm sorry to say this, but at some point, I don't know the point, at some point they become non-human entities. Is that fairly logical the way I explained it?
100%. I understood that, and I'm sure everyone out there listening can understand that. Now, the question I have for you, In this animal venom glands and ducts that are being created, is this for a self-destructive or a host-destructive purpose, or something more nefarious like an aggressive tool?
I know what you're going for. Good question. Basically, it's the initial destruction of that specific human being, who then is acting as a host to the genetic composite of the messenger RNA inserted proteins from FAs, fallen angels, and also, Doug, the reptiles, okay? There you go. Because, ladies and gentlemen, like it or not, it was a bipedal reptile that was in the Garden of Eden. Because it gets cursed where it once walked, and now it has to crawl on your belly. And the curse in Genesis against the reptile. And it says the serpent was more subtle. That means wiser, more cunning and conniving than all the other beasts. Now, what is the theme in a lot of the stuff, the artifacts that Jesse G in, obviously, Gen 6, I keep saying that because there are other people that are making claims on the internet. So I'm just talking about, I can only address what we have found in the translators of the fallen angel glyphs all over the world, have been blown away from their combined. I mean, these guys are having to compare. Imagine having to compare the letter A against 500,000 symbols. Then imagine having to turn the letter A on its side or upside down. I mean, that's just one example. Imagine taking 115, 120,000 characters in the Chinese written records and doing that same thing. So the thing is so vast. And by the way, you know, I so underestimated both the cost financially and the cost in time. I mean, we're going on, I think, what, 2 or 3 years now. And Doug, I sent you, do you remember, did you get those glyphs I sent you? And maybe Eric knows them, but Eric, the number one glyph, you can put that out.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I want people to understand this. When God says, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants of prophets, there is the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy does not make the person that has prophetic utterances a prophet. A gift, you know, when you're a prophet, you got a whole set of different standards. And so there's many prophetic voices out there, but I want to show people, for instance, ones, and I think it's number one on the four images. Eric, you can put that up.
I'm not sure we can put the images up because This came with the translation. I apologize, folks, for this. This came with the translation, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it, you got four of them, and you got them, and they were, you know, each individual, mm-hmm. I think they were like PDFs.
Correct. I'm having trouble being able to separate the proprietary the stuff you don't want on screen with the
okay images. I gotcha.
Okay,
well, can you just read the narrative under the first image with all the glyphs?
Wait a minute.
There you go. Okay. You go.
Thank you, Eric the Tech saved my backside. There you go. All right.
That's not the right one. It would be a normal one, but we'll just show those glyphs. That is what I'm trying to get you. And Eric, it was the one sent to Doug. This is on the one on famine. But the one that's really critical is I sent four of them, and I think they were sent to you guys last night.
Yes.
And that's what I just want you to read. If you can't do it, I don't want to take any more time.
Yeah, I don't think the way this is opening here, I'm having some issues with this, so I apologize.
And I apologize. And ladies and gentlemen, this is spontaneous, but suffice it to say, the glyphs that were received, and Doug, I'll get you that one glyph so you can put it in,
okay,
you know, so people can see it. That one glyph, there are four of them. One of them is really telling. It was a direct command from Lucifer to those who were overseeing the COP27 to hurry up and do certain things, and the certain things weren't spelled out before the, if you will, the events that I'm trying to get the glyph to open were revealed to the world. And guess, you know, who's revealing that right now? I don't flatter myself. This is just what God, a man has nothing except he receive it from above. And as I've warned and told people, my only command is to be the mouth, but the heart are the intercessors and the scientists who volunteer millions of dollars worth of their time over these years, probably more than that. And Doug, if it hadn't been for your and our and our mutual and exclusive, pretty much we have crossover listening and the people supporting us, ladies and gentlemen, you realize what you supported is probably the greatest archaeological find in history. People call me like a huckster. When you spend all the money and time and effort and have it all, that has to be only either the Smithsonian or the U.S. military or just the haters. And by the way, I want to explain something. I won't say where, but I got a call from Hal Turner yesterday saying, Steve, I don't know if you know it, but you're dead. I said, what? He said, yeah, I don't know if you know it, but it's all over a certain forum that you're dead. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is a real-time performance. They will resort to anything and everything. And what's neat about walking the will of God is this applies to everybody who's a listener, everybody who's a supporter, Doug. We all can walk asking God to show us our purpose, fulfilling our purpose, and then proceeding in our calling, and until God calls us home, we're not done. And that's what's interesting, because again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to just reiterate, the COP27 public facade was totally and hellishly different than the private one. It was totally different. And that is where the prophetic word, and I'm sorry I don't have that up, I was up all night. The bottom line is the prophetic word was given concerning the coronation. Then we go to the glyphs, and they're interpreted, and that took two or three days. And it was so mind-blowing because it's from Lucifer himself, and it basically is saying before, or it's implying that they're going to find out what really went on. And yes, they are, because surely the Lord our God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Doug, how many people do you know? I mean, obviously, most people don't know this, but would even be offended that these hideous, heinous, let me come up with another word, entities possessed by hell itself, controlled by Lucifer himself, are basically plotting and planning their death, my death, your death. And that's why Jesus said, yeah, that if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, there'd be no flesh left alive. Go ahead.
No, and I think people, there is a huge disconnect, mental disconnect. Sometimes I think to really wrap your mind around that, Steve, is so difficult for many people. How can I put this? Sometimes if you are just sitting at home watching TV, there's a knock on the door, you get bad news. Okay. It takes a while to process that processing time. First of all, there's this deny. I don't believe it. I can't believe it. So I think we're seeing this in a larger sense with the population. You know what I'm saying? The reaction, the attempt to understand what the ramifications. And by the way, just to add this, it's interesting how each one of your conferences, as well as the fundraiser and then your next DVD, how all of this builds upon the former one. So the explosion of God's knowledge, and that's my phrase, to the people who are willing to accept it. I just so appreciate this. I really do. I appreciate it because it helps me understand the Bible and, you know, from the pre-Adamic time to the present. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I want to just touch back on the two witnesses, okay? Because there's actual video of two guys in sackcloth and they're in Rome and then they're, you know, in the Middle East and people saying, well, what did they do? Take a bus. I said, these are two men of God, one taken in a chariot and one just God said, Enoch, come up here. Two people in history that have not died. And Moses died and was buried by one of the archangels. So I want to read this to you. And this is as it came to me, okay? Remember, Jesus was put to death by the religious Sanhedrin and the Pharisees because he was going to expose and did expose the difference between the power of the living God, his Father, our Father, who art in heaven. Jesus exposed the Sanhedrin and he told certain Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. So if there are actual, and by the way, I think they're in look, I'm only telling you what I'm told to share today. Here's what I was given the message given, not by God. This is given to me by an intel source. There are two persons wearing sack clothing and talking the words of God. Rabbis have interviewed them at length and believe that one of them is Elijah. And the other, they believe, is Moses. Not true. Moses died. However, because of how they are speaking and what they are speaking, we do not endorse them at all for anything. There's more study going on regarding these two men. Now, here it is. Listen, I want to hear everybody hear this. The coronation took place in Egypt as expected. Therefore, things are moving along regarding the new temple. There will be frequent updates to this message. One of the things that has my brain is Christians don't understand the third temple is the temple of the Antichrist. Jesus said, and this is why Jesus is verboten, you know, God bless the people who are Jewish. And by the way, there's more than the tribe of Judah. There's 11 other tribes, you know, that were dispersed all over the world. But here's what's interesting. We get the glyph, if you will, the message and all those strange characters and stuff, and the definition of Lucifer, but not definition, the direction of Lucifer. And by the way, he calls himself Lucifer. The coronation took place in Egypt as expected. Therefore, things are moving along regarding the new temple. Now, who are they talking about coronating? Jesus said, follow you guys, Jesus said that I came, the Lord God of heaven, the Messiah came, and you received me not. Jesus talking about the people. at his day who could not receive him. Another will come claiming to be me. Whoa, I got electricity. Claiming to be me. He's not Jesus. He's in place of Jesus. And him you will receive. What does that tell you, Doug? I could think of two words, but yeah. No, beyond that.
Me too. The same two words, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we are talking about the biblical Antichrist here, are we not?
Yes, sir.
All right. And because we only have about 5 minutes left, the application of criminal profiling to this, in my particular view, this person, I'm just going to toss this out there. Maybe this is not the right time. But you would have to have some sort of questionable lineage. Okay. This person, this candidate, questionable gender, questionable race, and also some, at least again, in my view, some connection to a historical pharaoh-like figure. Okay. That's kind of where my mind is going. Well, if you would apply that.
And you're exactly correct. And I want people to understand that, oh, that song, my favorite song from when I was 80s or whatever, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, you know, I forget, Tears for Fears or whoever it was.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And so, but the deal is, and Doug, in closing, I want people to understand three things. The Antichrist was crowned with full knowledge of those specific, that not all rabbis know this stuff, but the specific ones that do understand that the two witnesses are here now. And that's what I want people to understand, because common, dispensational thinking says, oh, the two witnesses don't show up until the church is raptured, blah, 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 blah. But you just heard it. There are two persons walking and they're sitting down and they're talking about the kingdom of God. They're telling the rabbis what the truth is, but the rabbis say, well, of course, we don't accept that at all. The temple being built, the third temple, is a temple of Antichrist. And that's what Christians are clapping and donating for. You're the temple. I'm the temple. We're the temple, at least before we get genetically, altered. So in closing, Doug, I want people to understand it is later than we think, prophetically. Take everything I said today to the Lord in prayer, and how dare those devils mock the God of heaven, who with his finger wrote the Ten Commandments, and then go and make it all humanistic, Romans chapter 1 poster people, and accept they repent. They've already sealed their fate, the majority of them. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the lateness of the hour. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, you really delivered a lot of information. I believe this was an information download. Listen to this again, ladies and gentlemen. Please do watch it again, because what I think you're going to come out with is exactly what Steve said, the lateness of the hour. We better start paying attention very closely, because this is in our faces. I'm telling you, right, Steve? It's in our face.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to call everyone to prayer for the people that are still in prison in the Washington, D.C. Yes. These are our brothers. These are men creating the image of the living God. Many of them are Christians. And when they find out that they're Christians, I want you to read about the people of God praying Peter out of the prison when he was a prisoner. We're told in the Word of God, we're told to remember our brothers in bonds, and they're forgotten. And the majority of the weasels in the pulpit wouldn't even take this on. So may the living God put on every one of our hearts, ladies and gentlemen, set aside even 10 minutes and call on God to supernaturally release. Do I have a minute to pray?
Yes. 30 seconds. Go ahead, sir.
I can do it in 30 seconds. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, based on the authority of your word, based on as the New Testament church in the book of Acts prayed, we pray for the release. God, we bind our hearts. We break the spirit of bondage, and we ask for a miracle, God, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle, a miracle, seven times a miracle. for those brothers and sisters, if there are any, that are in the D.C. jail prison and to be released. God supernaturally declared to the world that this is a day of miracles. And I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus and rebuke the spirit of bondage and incarceration over them in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Thank you and good night, everyone.